sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Good evening, brothers and sisters! We're going to be in the Gospel of Love, the Book of Love. Well, hey, tonight, finishing the Bible, teaching through the Bible for the seventh time. The hardest time teaching through the Bible is years ago when I did one book a week. That was hard. And then, like, it just reminded me, like, last week I had 67 pages of notes and slides I wanted to show. But that study was just for me. So this will be the seventh time. And so starting a week from today, we'll be in Genesis on Thursdays. And start the Gospel of Matthew this Sunday. So looking forward to that. That'll be my eighth time or seventh full time going through the entire Bible. God forbid we're still here. I hope not to do the book of Revelation again, because I'm going to go Matthew all the way through the Gospels, all the way straight through, and we'll go from there. Who's here been the longest? You've been here for all of them, pretty much. Just about. You were here the year that I did the Bible in chronological order. Yeah, those guys are on drugs who put the Bible together. I tell you, man, those guys are all over the place. What were they thinking there? Not drugs, whatever the equivalent was at that day and age. But no, these guys are full of the Holy Spirit. So I did that through the chronological. So starting the book of Genesis, we'll go real slow through the first 11 chapters. And then after that, it'll be like three chapters a week, but really good spend. But the interesting thing is we're finishing the end, but we're going to see where it starts in the book of Genesis. There's a lot of things here in the book of Revelation that are coming to an end here, and you're going to be able to see as we start Genesis next week because of the way that Revelation is ending here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, and I just ask you to be Lord and lift it up, that we leave here tonight more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, the book of Revelation, as it tells us there in Revelation 1, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. You know, not all these things. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's the only book in the Bible that says, read me, I'm special. Because it says, you'll get blessed for reading it. And again, I remember not just new to the Lord. Someone says, read the book of Revelation. And I did. It's just been amazing. I love this book here. So as we finish up, but I got to go back to chapter 20, picking up at verse 12, because Revelation is a letter. Old dead dude from the 13th century, I think it was, an archbishop in Canterbury. He's the one who put chapter and verses in. And then later, with the onset of the printing press by Gutenberg, not the comedian Steve, but Gutenberg, with the movable face type setting, and again, being able to publish the Bible and print it in the language of the day, oh my goodness. So we can get caught up sometimes just reading verse by verse, chapter by chapter, but this is a letter. I encourage you to take 35, 40 minutes. If you have a hard time understanding, take an hour and just read through the entire book of Revelation and do that. And I'm encouraging you this week as well, read through all of 28 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. Read it as a letter, and then we're gonna dissect it. We're gonna take it apart verse by verse and chapter by chapter. But read it as it was intended. These are letters, all right. And look at this intricate coding system that's here. 66 books of the Bible, or 66 letters, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, written over a 1,500-year time span by over 40 different authors in three different languages and comprising three different continents. And every letter of the Bible says the exact same thing. Redemption. God's redemptive work with mankind. Even in the book of Esther, which we'll be celebrating Purim in March, even in the book of Esther, where God's name isn't even mentioned, but you see God all the way through it. So here, in chapter 20, verse 12, he tells us here, again, after the tribulation period, there's going to be this great white throne judgment. As I said last week, you and I are the bride of Christ. How does God refer to the nation of Israel? As his wife. And so we're the bride, and so we're going to see some things here. And so we're already taken up in that rapture. We're already judged. We've already at the bema seat, the Greek word bema. We're already at that judgment for the believers. But now there's going to be an eternal judgment. And he tells us here in chapter 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was open." So books, plural, one book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works." So if someone wants to get to God on their own, if someone wants to justify themselves before God, why they think they're a good person, and they don't want it to be by the atonement and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then God's going to give you a fair trial. You can stand before him and you can tell him why you deserve to be in heaven for all eternity, but the books are going to be opened. And so here, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, and the dead were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." So the grave or death or hell, that's that place, all right? It's not purgatory. That's a ski resort in Colorado, all right? That's that place that the unredeemed are there. For those of us who've been to jail, you understand that's jail time. And now here comes prison time. Here comes hard time. "That hell and death were thrown into the lake of fire." And verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's where some people have the hardest time with. They want religion. I wanted religion. We all wanted religion. I founded my own religion. Everyone wants rules and regulations and just tell me what I'm going to do. Husbands, they want rules. They want a religion, don't they? They want a religion of the wife. Just tell me what you want. And just like religion, I don't know. I'll make it up as I go along. I mean, it'll just whatever. This week, religion is chicken fried steak. I mean, whatever it is, all right? And so there's the thing. That's religion. It's man's attempt to cover himself before God. But a relationship, that's this book, the book of life. And remember, there's nothing new in the book of Revelation. There's nothing new in the New Testament. Book of life is an Old Testament terminology. We see that in the book of Ezekiel. We see that in the book of Isaiah. So there's nothing new here. That's why you need to read through the Old Testament so you'll understand the New Testament even better. So again, "Then they were thrown into the lake of fire." Then chapter 21, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So much for the climate change. I mean, again, as I said last week and weeks before, I'm of that generation. There's some old people here. I'm of that generation where you drove down the road, you rolled down the window, and you just threw your garbage out the window. Did you not? The guys in the orange jumpsuits doing their weekend service, they'll pick that up. That was my generation, all right? And so it's been changed. And so, but again, as I've said before, if America did everything electrical, did everything clean and green, we would only affect the ecology in this world's pollution by 1%. Not even 10%, just 1%. India and Pakistan and China, I mean, they're the major polluters there. And so here's the whole thing. So listen, there is going to be a new heaven. I like it to be clean, All right, and so here, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy. Now, listen, just keep this in your mind. As we go through chapters 21 and 22 tonight, we're reading Genesis chapter 1. We're reading the first three chapters of Genesis here, because now the world was void and formless, right? You ever been to one of those church services where the pastor gave a Genesis 1:1 message? Void and formless? Okay, it was in dark. Okay, so here, he tells us here, he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's the missing piece in every man, woman, and child's life, is that you'll never have peace and contentment in this world, though there might be some happiness. Our Constitution guarantees the pursuit of it. But show me one of the amendments of the Constitution that says that you get happiness. And so here, everyone's looking for that peace with God. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That means, listen, when you die, or we go up in the rapture of the church, when this physical body, as we finished up 1 Corinthians a couple weeks ago on Sunday, as this physical body dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God, but there will be that bodily resurrection for that millennial kingdom, as we've gone and talked about this in the book of Revelation. But he says the former things are passed away. We're going to know one another. There's going to be pain in that time. And again, this comes from Isaiah chapter 25. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. If you know your Greek, well, if you know me, you know Greek, right? Chick, okay. But if you know Greek, the Alpha and the Omega, that means that that's the equivalent of our alphabet A to Z. He says, I'm the beginning and the end. This is one of the titles that he uses there in chapters 2 and 3 when he's talking to the seven churches. We're also going to see this in Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning. Again, that equivalent in Hebrew is this Alpha and this Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Oh man, you got to come back for Genesis, especially Genesis chapters 1-3, when we see the whole garden created and that river of life and that tree of life. This is all going to be restored. And so here, he tells them here, again, these former things are passed away. I'm the Alpha and Omega. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars. I just crack up. Because we think there's different levels of sin. Shouldn't you start with lying and work your way to sorcerers and adulterers and whoremongers? But that's what it is there. But it's liars. Take note of this. Again, all sin is sin in God's eyes. There's no one sin greater than another sin. Now, here in this life, in this world, there are certain consequences to sinful life. But when it comes to God, all sin is sin in God's eyes. So therefore, lying and a whoremonger, an adulterer, unbeliever, murderers, they're all the same. And in this life, you might get upset because maybe some murderer, maybe you're upset at Charles Tex Watson, who in 1972, I have a personal attachment because I know somebody knows him, but in 1972, it's called the Class of 72 in California. In 1972, Californians repealed the death penalty. They have a gas chamber in California. But in 1973, they said, oh, that's not good. People are going crazy again. And so they reinstated it. But everyone up until 1972 who was ever on death row, one of them was a guy named Charles Watson, Charles Tex Watson. If you don't know your history, he's one of the Manson family murderers. Listen, he is one of the people who took a Bowie knife and cut out Sharon Tate's baby out of her body and killed that baby. Just he did an outside abortion, is what's happening right now. So don't get too upset with him, because there's plenty of people who are committing abortions. Murder. It's just murder. And in 72, he was pardoned from the death row. Him and Charles Manson and the whole Manson family. A few years later, because he expected to die. A few years later, he gives his life to the Lord because his mama never gave up on him. His mom and her grandma. He was raised in a Christian home. Now, I do not want any of you kids who've ever been raised up and you've been born in these families to be famous this way. Come talk to me. I can tell you there's different ways to be famous or infamous, but this is not one of them. And to see what happened with him, that because of this pardon, because he wasn't put to death, he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, before Sharon Tate and the other people at her home, this actress was murdered, and the baby was murdered. Before that, a couple of days before, the LoBiancas, the LoBianca family, husband and wife, were murdered. They were trying to start a race war in California, and so they murdered this mixed couple, and their 8-year-old daughter was coming home, and fortunately she didn't have to see them all, but there was police there, and they murdered him. Hey Jim, I got him. Thanks, man. And she comes home, and so she grows up, I think, around the age of 8. And she's hated. Well, a friend of mine got to know Charles Tex Watson. Okay, got to know Charles Tex Watson as a Christian in San Quentin there. And began a pen pal and actually went to visit him. And got to know him and seeing hearing his testimony. He goes, listen, I don't deserve to be alive. I mean, God forgave me. You know, he gave his life to the Lord in prison because he's realized he should have been dead by now. He realized all the stuff he did. Murder. And a heinous murder. And then another friend of mine who pastors a Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque was helping this young woman in her 40s, late 30s, early 40s, helping her with the grief of the death of her parents when she was like 8 years old. Catch where I'm going here, folks. And she got to the point where she could forgive the one who murdered her parents. And her name had been changed. She'd been married. And so through my friend in California and this other Calvary pastor, got to know them. And then they introduced them to another friend of mine, Pastor Chuck Smith. And Pastor Chuck Smith started going to the prison and visiting Charles Tex Watson to see if his testimony was there. Through a series of events, they gave the address to this girl who was murdered. In other words, Charles Tex Watson married the LoBiancas, this woman's parents. And she began a pen pal with him and writing him. It took over the course of a couple of years, and he just thought she was just one of these, there's women who write guys in prison, they're groupies, but... And he just felt it was one of those. And after a few years, she wanted to go visit him. And one of the things here in the penal system is they don't, victim and offender, they don't ever let be in the same room. And in this room, in this prison, it's not between glass. It's you actually can sit at a table and talk to one another. And so finally the day came, and Charles Tex Watson, he's just thinking, hey, man, whatever, just meeting this woman. She's a Christian. And she began to talk to him and met him in person and just said, yeah, you're a believer. And just really grilled him and found out, I really believe you. He says, okay, well, I didn't think I was going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you this. I forgive you. And he's like, for what? And she says, my parents were the LoBiancas. I was that 8-year-old girl. And he's like, now if anyone would have known that, now all of us Christians, we knew this, and they would never let the victim and the offender be together in the same room as there might be violence there or whatever. And then they introduced him, and he says, well, hey, so you can go get this. Take this down. It's called Forgiven with Pastor Chuck Smith, where he interviews this woman and interviews Pastor Chuck, and Chuck enters Charles Tex Watson. Why I share that with you? Because I'm taking something so heinous. That someone who perpetrated something upon my life and in my family's life, it just comes to that point of forgiveness that I don't want to live. And that's the whole thing is that, as the Lobianca girl was saying, she says, listen, whatever happened, the act that happened, it's done and over. And it's just me reliving it and being angry until she forgave that person. And then she got to meet that person. She began to pray, God, can I meet this person? And she did. And so, liars, I think you might start off with that. But just as all sin is equal in God's eye, it's all forgiven the same way. Just as if lying was the only sin you ever did. Anyone here not lie before? See, you're lying right now. Okay, so even if lying was your only sin, I'm going to tell you right now, who's listening to the sound of my voice, if you have not repented and received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, Charles Tex Watson will die someday. And he will go to heaven, and you will not. Because the books will be opened. And your name only needs to be found in one book. And that is the book of life. And so here, it tells us here that it says, they shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Born once, you can die twice. Born twice, you might only die once. If you're born once, you'll have a physical death, and then it will be an ultimate forever eternity spiritual death. But if you're born twice, born physically, and then born again, your body will only die once. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is that? Who is that? What is God? How does God refer to the nation of Israel? His wife. How does he refer to the Lamb's wife? It's the church. So we haven't heard of the church since chapter 4. Chapter 3 was the last time. And now we're going to hear, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He's quoting Ezekiel chapter 48, if you're going to take notes. This was all prophesied about. He says here, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall and a great height, and the 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This is where the church shows up, folks. Jesus told us about this in Matthew chapter 16. This is nothing new in the book of Revelation. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. Again, this is going back to Ezekiel chapter 40. And the city lieth foursquare in the length, and he gets into all the measurements here. I'm not going to get into that, all these types of precious stones. He's really quoting from Isaiah chapter 54. And then verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Where does the Holy Spirit reside, folks, right now? In us, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's no need for the temple here. And he says here, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine. Man, stick around next week. Don't stay here all week, but come back next Thursday as we go through the book of Revelation. And that's what we're seeing here. There was no sun. There was no moon. There was no earth. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there shall bring, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, That gets me through a day sometimes. When I just think about my salvation, I think someday I'm just going to be spending all eternity and what it's going to be like. And I, you know, some say, you know, heaven is just like going to your best fishing spot. Well, that's not for me. Heaven would be, you know, a great flight. Heaven would be a great motorcycle ride. Heaven would be, and you're trying to take our carnal, fleshly, our limited understanding and apply it to a finite God. All I know is what I've seen here and what I've read here is far better than anything that I could ever think of or imagine. In chapter 22, verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb of God. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life. Where else do you hear the tree of life? Kids, where do you hear the tree of life? Genesis. This is that tree. And remember, everything on earth was a facsimile, was a copy of that which is in heaven. So that tree of life that we see, that we will see, or if you read ahead, you see that tree of life that's in the garden. And he says, but there's one tree that you shall not partake of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you partake of that day, you shall surely die. But he lived to be, I think, 800 or 930 years old. So what died? That's that whole thing. Born again is not a New Testament terminology. And so here, he says here that you shall die. But now we see that when you see God restoring all these things. And it says here that the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. I don't know about you, man, but I have to pour cider vinegar down our drains because there's ants coming up through the drains. I look at that as a curse. I look at cockroaches as a curse. I mean, how do they survive nuclear holocausts and stuff? Twinkies. You ever eaten a 10-year-old Twinkie? That's a curse, man. People say, how do you do that? Well, I grew up in an age when they didn't have expiration dates on them, so it should be okay. You look at this, and there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of And the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We get an opportunity right now to serve the Lord. And that through the church. Ministry comes from the church. We get that opportunity to serve the Lord. So I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to help you for your future in eternity. One, you should take horse riding lessons. Because we're going to come back in horses for that millennial kingdom. We come riding on the horses in the clouds. Two, you should learn Hebrew, some Hebrew, so you won't be a tourist in heaven. Right? There's a language there. Okay. And this other thing right here is that it tells us here that that the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve. To serve, you can practice, because that's what we're going to do for all eternity. And the service that we do here by serving one another, husbands serving their wives, wives serving their husbands, brothers and sisters serving one another, doing these things. There's not going to be a curse, so there won't be any complaining. But listen, you should take some horse riding lessons. I'm not being facetious there. Learn a little bit of Hebrew. But the one thing it tells us here is that we'll be serving there. And if you're not serving, I'll just straight up tell you, man, if you're not serving in your church, you last about 2.5, maybe 3.5 years at any church. Because my jokes get old, and they're really not so much jokes as they are pithy sayings to help you. I can do things. Kara, stick with the plan? Could save your life someday. And you know what? I'd say all these pithy sayings, but when she's lost, she's, I'm going to stick with the plan. That's because I just want to know where the police need to find your body or where I can come rescue you. I just stick with the plan. But if you're not serving, you're not going to apply any of these things. So to some people, somebody last week says, you know, I've been using these things, all these booklets I've been reading in the intern program and stuff. I see where you're getting all this stuff. And I go, yeah, you make so much more sense to me now. Those just aren't jokes or anything. He goes, I'm using it. I'm using serve through it. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, just serve through it. You'll get to that other side there. So I'm telling you, Christian, God has provided the church, and there's an opportunity to serve now in this life If you don't like serving in this life, well, you'll make it to heaven. I guess everything, your attitude will be changed. You'll be perfected and all that kind of stuff. But what would it be like if brothers and sisters and people who come to church served? I mean, just make horrible coffee or set things up or bring bread or come here and hang out and set chairs up, clean carpets, do it. I would just provide and jumpstart each other's cars at 2 a.m. in February. Just bail each other out of jail. What would it look like if we're doing that now? Because some of you are here because you've seen your neighbors or your friends get ministered to. You didn't even know the word was ministered to, but they would just bring food. We love food. It's just food's our thing, man. We're foodies, okay? Our language of love here is food and sarcasm. So we pour that on, and you're like, I got to go to that church. I got to check this thing out. And some of you are here because you've just witnessed what's happening there. And they'll be again, there's not going to be curses. None of these things are going to be going on. But his servants shall serve him. We are. So get serving now. You know, you can bypass the horse riding lessons and the Hebrew lessons, but Jesus even tells us in Luke chapter 10, I think it's verse 17. Luke 17, 10. I'm dyslexic, so either way. And the verse he ends with, he's just like, the servant will say to himself, we're wicked and unprofitable servants because we're only doing that which was required of us. Serving means we go far above and beyond that. And God has given this life-breathing organism, church, not just Calvary Chapel St. Paul, but church, as a place where you can be used to serve and use the gifts. And God equips the called and enables you to do things. So serve him. You see, I'm looking at my end result. I'm going to be serving in heaven for all eternity. Might as well get busy serving now. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Not on their foreheads. In their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is Psalm 36. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Well, first and foremost, does your relationship with God make you sure that you'll go to heaven when you die? In such a way that you know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not because of anything that you could be judged by the books, but what Jesus Christ has done for you. And are you serving him? There's no use giving you directions and instructions on how to get somewhere if you have no intention of taking that instruction. There's no need for you to know to get tooled and equipped to serve if you're not going to serve. And so here, if you want to hear his voice, he shows unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. When he means keepeth, does he mean like, hold it? Keep it. I got it. We only have one word in the English language for keeping, and that word is. But that word keeping means that you're doing it. You're living it. You're showing it. I believe, folks, every day we should preach the gospel. And if it's absolutely necessary, use words. But we live our lives. Are we keeping? Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He's talking about the book of Revelation. Yes, you can apply it to the whole Bible, but this letter. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. First of all, we've been through this process. And why is he doing this again? But look what the angel says. Then the angel saith unto him, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Look what he says. Worship God. Remember, Lucifer was a high archangel, and he wanted to be worshipped. And angels. So whenever someone bows down, that's why when you read through the Old Testament, and it talks about these unnamed people who walked through, and they said they were like an angel. And like when Abraham bowed down to worship, and he thought that was an angel, and they received worship, we know that's a Christophany or a theophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. But when it's an angel, like, hey, get up. Don't do that. Why is that? Well, Lucifer, we don't want to do that whole thing again. Okay, no worship. And he says, I'm thy fellow servant. And do you realize as we finish up the book of Corinthians there that you and I are going to judge the angels? That's why in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, can't you judge these little trivial things amongst yourselves right now here in this life? We're going to be judging the angels someday. And the angels are just ministering. Now, they're extraterrestrial. They can do things that we can't do, but we'll catch up to them someday in heaven. We'll all have that. But they're ministering servants and they're fellows with us. But only you and I have salvation. Only you and I can sing the song of the redeemed, as we see in the book of Revelation. The angels can't. We can join in with the angels when they're singing, but they can't join in with us because it's the song of the redeemed. You and I are the redeemed. And so here, he says here, then saith he unto him, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brother and the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the things of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, there's some speculation because in the book of Daniel, Daniel was told to seal up these things that are written. These very well could be things, just speculative, but he's saying that you're not sealing these things up, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust. Now, look at, we went through this as we finished up the last couple of chapters of 1 Corinthians, talking about, hey, those are going to lie. Those are going to be unprofitable. Those are going to be wicked. And he's ministering to you and I as Christians. He's just let them. It's not your gig. It's not your job, man. That's not just, you're to be keeping these prophecies and these things. You're to be loving, you know, others as yourself. It's not about what you don't do. It's proactive. See, some people misunderstand the Bible. They think this is in the Bible. They think don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That's not in the Bible. It's not. He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And they don't have to do it unto you. Jesus makes us proactive. You go do it. Doesn't matter if they do it or not. There's nothing reciprocal here. He says, what are you? Are you like the heathens? When we get through the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he says, are you like the heathens? They only love those who love themselves. They only greet those who greet themselves. They only send Christmas cards to people who send them Christmas cards. A few of you in here. You already sworn some people off. I'm not sending them a Christmas card next year. All right, take the hint. Maybe we don't want to hear from you. I don't know, but here's the thing. He's going to do the same thing here, the Holy Spirit. He says here, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Just stay in your lane. It doesn't matter. Listen, only in the millennial kingdom, that 1,000-year reign of Christ, the kingdom that you and I are going to come back on horses, speak a little Hebrew, we're going to come and reign and rule in that 1,000 years. It's only then that righteousness will be enforced, and it will have to be enforced to those who are not saved. It's hard for me to believe that there's going to be people born in the millennial kingdom who are still going to turn from God and not ever turn to Him. But that shouldn't surprise anybody because some of you have children who are pagans and heathens. And some of you are the children of Christian parents and you're a pagan and a heathen. And you have a drug problem. You were drug here. So these are the things. So that can happen. So the millennial kingdom, the same way. So let him's going to be filthy still. I'm going to do everything I can to preach against and do whatever I can to stop abortion and stop various things by whatever laws I can stuff. But I'm not shocked and surprised. All right. Just like I don't throw stuff out my windows or driving down the road anymore. And I don't litter and I'm always picking up trash. The whole generation has changed. I want things clean around me. Well, Well, I still want to vote for laws and people on school boards and sheriffs and judges and potentates. I want people to be Christian and take their morals and values from God's word and do that. But criminals are still going to be criminals. It's still going to happen. But do unto others as you have them do unto you. So he says here, so let those who are righteous continue to be righteous. Let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the holy city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth making a lie. Again, I would start with a lie, but there's no difference in God's word. There's no difference when it comes to sin. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I will tell you, we're going to go through the book of Matthew, and you're going to find out more about this root of David and this offspring. But that was one of the prophecies. There will always be someone on from David's line who will be on the throne forever, and that's Jesus Christ. And you'll see that as we go through the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 next week or this week. And the Spirit and the church, the Spirit and Israel, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Not stop sinning. Not clean yourself up. Not jump in the river and get cleaned up and go take a shower or something like that. It's not what you don't no longer do and try to reform yourself. Jesus, it's all done for you. Just come and get blessed. We do not have to keep the commandments. We get to. We don't have to drink of the water of life. We get to. We don't have to be in the book of life. We get to. Do you see, that's not a religion. And it's all based upon what Jesus Christ has done for us. So the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that heareth. Can anyone hear? Bob, can you hear? Bob can hear. If Bob can hear, anyone can hear. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life by paying it by good deeds. You can earn that. He says, freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Why would you want to do that? And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So, the book of Revelation, not a hard book, but this is what we share with others. I am a sinner saved by God's grace. And I want to let people know that it's about this relationship with God. That's why I'm doing these things or living the life where I choose to be here. And I want to do these things. It's because of that relationship of what he's done for me that I am now in that book of life. And I can freely partake of that living water. Even tonight, the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to come upon your life and overflow you and fill you. In other words, you have salvation, but maybe there's something missing a little bit in your life. Maybe there's something that you've just run dry. I would ask you to come forward and we'll pray for it and ask just a refilling of the Holy Spirit upon your life of that baptism of that water. That living water should be coming forth from our lives. And listen, if work, family, school, play, neighbors, whatever, are not getting drenched by that living water, by that love of God that's pouring forth through the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how many Bible verses you know. It doesn't matter that you're the one that they want when they play Bible trivia. You're the ringer on the team. It doesn't matter if you can, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, if you can fathom all the mysteries of God and yet have not love, then we're nothing. And that's what I want to share with people, is that church is not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. Serving, it's not something you have to do. You get to do. Theologically, you can be a consumer. You can take and take and take and take from all the resources that we're given. You can't steal for what we give away. And never once provide for anyone else's needs or ever put back into this community of believers. You are still going to heaven. But man, all the things that I'm benefiting from, all the things that I get to have because of just serving, because I want the love of Jesus Christ to be in my life, that's what I'm selling. That's what I'm giving away. In fact, I'm giving away fire escapes. That's what I'm, life insurance, fire insurance. Is that I desire, do not mistake my passion, that I want you to serve in some capacity in this church. And the church, I don't mean this building, the church, you and I, people. That's what the church is. This is just a building. We can rent anywhere, right? But we own a coffee house. Just want to know our priorities are, right? But as we minister to one another. But yeah. But if one does not plug in, does not serve, I can just tell you, 43 years of being a believer, Ed, Katie, daughter, some of you have been around for quite some time, we've seen people just come and go. The one identifying mark is they're not servants. They're not servants. You know what happens when you're a servant? You work and you serve with other servants who are irritating. They're obnoxious. Take me for granted. And what happens when you're serving? Well, then you got to work things out. Maybe I don't like the way they serve. They could have done this better. So like that. Why do we take communion out of plastic little cups? And now someone brought this habit of breaking those things. And why do we do that? I've never done that before. Why do we do this? And why do we do that? And when you're serving, but if you're not serving, all you do is criticize of how you're not being served. It's the funniest thing to me. Serving at the coffee house. That's also the church office. My granddaughter thinks I'm a barista. Doesn't understand I'm a pastor, but she's getting there. But when people say, well, I keep calling the coffee house. Why isn't it open? I said, we're staffed by servant volunteers. Why isn't it open? Well, so what you want me to do is you want me to call somebody and say, hey, somebody wants a cup of coffee. They're demanding that you come here and serve them. But we have a solution to that. If you want to see the coffee house remain open more, come and get trained, and you'll have to be there. That's it. So why isn't the coffee house open more? Listen, all you have to do is just know how to make an air pot of coffee. Simplest thing. And put the self-service sign up, that self-serve coffee right there. And you just hang out. Keep the doors open. All right? We have a panic button in case there's an emergency. And the panic button is not going to save you. It just lets us know when you went to go be with the Lord. It has a timestamp on it. That's about it. So praise God. Why is that? I'm going to be with Jesus now. What is that? Freak out the people. Make them work for it. But, you know, why isn't this here? Why isn't that here? How come this? What is going on there? We're irritating. We're going to serve one another. We're messy. I know I pastor a messy church because I'm a messy pastor. But we're going to serve for all eternity. So let's figure some things out right now. My service to the Lord will be perfected, but I get to do that right now. But if not, 2.5 to 3.5 years on average, and then you're going to go somewhere else. And you're going to do the exact same thing. You're just going to take of all those resources, whatever that church, because people give, we're giving church, and you'll just take, and you'll just take, and you'll just take. And then, same thing will happen there, whatever reasons why this isn't working out for you, it's not going to work out there yet. Three and a half years. Even sooner if you come on Thursdays and Sundays. All right? And if you've been coming here a while and I haven't offended you, I haven't upset you, keep coming. Your day's coming. I will hurt you and offend you more than anyone will have ever offended you or hurt you because I'm the pastor of this church. But I know that I will bless you more than anyone will ever bless you. And those blessings, and those encouragements, far outweigh the dumb things I do at times and the dumb things I say. All I ask is just extend to me half the grace that's been extended to you. Give me 10% of the grace to me that has been extended to you. And we'll work through this together. I'll finish with this. I got to hear of some brothers who, in this church, one wasn't coming here because he didn't want to see another brother. It's taken a couple of years and finally got them together. They're reconciled. And they reconciled and they're like, why was I so upset at you for so long? And the other one was like, why were you upset at me for so long? Hey, I'm sorry. Oh, I thought it was going to be bigger than that. No. Oops. The other was like, now I got to pay for that one brother who stayed away from coming to church because the other brother, like, now he's going to be embarrassed. But no, because he's watching online. You're here now. What are we going to say? You're here now, man. Basic grace. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. I just ask you, Lord, to be willed, to be done. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's all going to be done, and we're going to be in perfection, and it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. But right now, help us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to work it out between messy Christians. And may we just serve, Lord. Just serve you. And really what that angel told John, just worship God. May we just do that through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.